Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Brother John. You preempted me. You preempted me, you bastard.
Oh.
Wow.
I guess that's because I have this cup of coffee in front of me.
I guess it is. You get the last line. I get the first line. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now I'm gonna get the last line. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
We'll just switch it around a little bit. I can do this.
Ooh. Ah.
So talk to me about your coffee just for a second, if you don't mind.
Oh, it's hot.
Okay.
I can't drink it yet.
That's about it, huh?
Yeah, I just got it. I went downstairs and got some coffee. Wow.
Well, you got that radio announcer voice thing going on there.
Yeah, sure do.
Well?
So, yeah. Ooh, very good. Very good.
It sounds like you're excited. You're ready to do a show. That's what it sounds like from here.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm willing and able, ready. All good.
Well, it's 71 degrees here. It's 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning.
It's a balmy 66. So it's going to get up to 92, but not too bad.
Yeah, we're going to get up in the 90s today, too. Got really freaking hot yesterday.
Ooh.
Yep. We're entering that period now. Everybody goes, well, it's not summer yet. Bullshit. It's summer here. Let me tell you.
Yeah, Memorial Day. That's what makes it happen.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Lots of good memories there, huh?
Mm.
Getting ready to go back to school, kind of hating it and loving it, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of some good weather, bad weather.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happens on Memorial Day.
Swimming pool opens. Yes, right. The smell of copper tone.
And chlorine.
Oh, man. Ooh. Yeah, I remember that. Boy, I'd come home, my eyeballs would be solid red.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell,
for sure.
Right?
And then now I have to go out and drink all night for that to happen.
Well, good luck with that.
Just kidding, of course. No, I would never do that. That's bad. That's old bad behavior.
Well, yeah, but I think medically we're unable to do it now. We were virtuous before if we did that.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Sure. Hey.
Yeah. Well, what are you wearing?
So what about... Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
Okay.
I'm wearing my... actually, that's when I got up early and put my number 2 Technicolor tee bro shirt on. So I've got a lot of color on my chest.
Yeah. Now, what's the background color of that? Was it kind of charcoal, is it, or...
Well,
is
I got
blue?
Charcoal, but it's the blue and the orange. But the most important thing is it feels so good.
Easy boy, easy. We don't want you to make a mess over there. I got my blue on. I got blue, and it is Clark Street number 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, the second.
That's good.
Yeah. Hold it.
Hold the line.
The Bro Show, surviving cancer and loss with faith. No, this is, no. Holy cow, am I wearing the same thing you're wearing? I can't read upside down for shit. I can't read at all.
Yeah, we are. We're wearing the same thing.
Oh, good.
We are. I listened to what you read. That's difficult, but I did it. I can't believe it.
Between the two of us, we have a whole brain, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Well, let's try and prove that at least. Okay, yeah. So
improve it or prove it. Take your pick.
Yeah, well, one's the other, I guess.
Yeah.
It's time to say right out loud that we have 2 new sponsors today, and I'll just briefly mention them, and then we'll get on with the good stuff. We got Harry's Quality Men's Shaving Products and... The Sports Mascot Museum.
A hidden jewel, no doubt.
No doubt.
I look forward to talking about this.
Both are hidden jewels, I would have to say. So anyways, we got that coming up. We're pretty excited. Now a couple shout-outs. You got some shout-outs for us, buddy?
Yeah, sure do. Listen, the Jason Otto, a longtime listener, brought to my attention this most recent sponsor, the Mascot Museum. We have talked... often on about the baseball mascots and the important place they have in the development and at baseball and the continued interest in it. And we're going to, you know, go a different angle today on that later. But yep. I just wanted to mention that Jason, when I mentioned to Jason that I've got this renewed interest in mascots, he brought this to my attention, and it's relatively close. So I thought, what the heck?
Okay, well, this is getting exciting now. And then we also, I want to give a nice shout out to my sister-in-law, Claudia McCormick, formerly Claudia Mara, Mary Jane's sister. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady. A real babe, too. I got to say it out loud. And yeah, well, you know, under the Lakota rules of marriage, I can almost, without blinking, take a second wife if it's the sister of my wife. So, got that.
You got your eye. Yeah, you're on the prowl. You're on the prowl, I can tell.
Wow. So, yeah, Claudia is so kind and nice to review our shows. And she's probably really pissed at me for pronouncing her name Claudia. She wants it Claudia. Claudia.
And I'm the man supposed to mispronounce. Come on. Don't hit.
That's the proper.
Fringing on my turf.
Hey, dude, that's the proper Spanish pronunciation.
Oh.
That's.
Huh? Well, I'm glad you got that in there. Spain's a nice country.
It is a nice country. You should know. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be good. Okay. So, yeah. You wouldn't believe these review notes she gives us. Well, John, what was your reaction the first time you read some of Claudia's notes?
I was scared that people actually listened to our podcast that closely.
It's a little scary.
You know, it is, because somebody will come up to you and say something. Well, I heard you talk about this on that podcast. And they say, what?
I know. It's like we don't remember. So now we've got to update our database of all the shit we talked about on all these shows. Yeah. And you know, we're moving in on 100. I think we're over 70 now.
Jeez.
I know, it's getting crazy.
When you're
Well, we're in season 3. The new format for season 3 is, most people know by now, and this is the 5th show of season 3, and we've thrown the format away.
Yeah, that's what we've done. We basically decided to just throw stuff against the wall, and if it sticks, hey, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of hash that out during the week, or we think we have, and then, you know, we get on the air, and anything can happen. So,
wow.
Buckle up, kids. Yeah. Buckle up. So, you know, John, we have to have a discussion. I know you don't want to do this, but... You know, where are you?
Well, I decided this weekend to have a very reflective weekend.
Oh?
A weekend in which I could make a pilgrimage.
Good.
I decided to go to my Mecca, where I go when I feel the need to kind of step back and reflect upon things.
Okay.
And that happens to be Toledo, is where I am.
Oh, that's great. That's a beautiful city. That's one of the best places to go in Spain. And I'm glad to see you finally made the jump across the big pond.
You know, I'm afraid I still haven't been in Europe. I apologize. This is a wonderful town, Toledo.
But, Toledo what?
Toledo, Ohio.
No. You're trying to tell me you're in Toledo, Ohio? Now, you sent me pictures, and I saw a lot of Espanol in the background there, a lot of Spanish. So,
the thing is,
what's
up? There's a beautiful river outside, and I think what you did is, there's Toledo, Spain also has a nice, it sits on a river, and you apparently...
You said pilgrimage. You said pilgrimage, right?
Yeah, well...
Toledo, Spain is a holy city.
Yeah, it's where all kinds of religions come together. My pilgrimage
Your religion?
Lies
no?
in, yeah. Well, my religion is baseball. Mm.
So did you go to any of those places? Like, is there like a museum for all the great Toledo steel they make in Spain? That's what I wanted to know, because I think that they're famous. Those swords are famous. So have you seen that yet?
Well, no. I'm afraid I've actually only gone to the Toledo. Baseball park for the Mud Hens, and my pilgrimage has been to Henville.
Wait a minute.
So I've been to Henville.
Wait, I'm so confused. I didn't.
When you are
I didn't know they had a baseball
confused.
Over in Spain like that in Toledo. But I guess, it's a religion.
Look, baseball is my religion.
I know.
And you find baseball all over the U.S. And I did have to go a very long distance to make this pilgrimage, this trip. Okay?
Whoa.
But I didn't cross any pond called the Atlantic Ocean.
Now, wait a minute. You're trying to tell me you're not in Toledo, Spain?
I am in Toledo, Ohio. This is where all things happen for me with respect to religion.
Wow. I'm a little
surprised.
This
is a pilgrimage that I did not go last year, and I am suffering as a result, but I have regained my sense of calm, my being. Everything has really kind of coalesced, come together for me.
I'm stunned.
Just being here for less than 24 hours, it has made a dramatic difference in my life.
Really? So you're really not in Spain. You're not just pulling my leg.
Hey, look, 3 hours on the Indiana/Ohio Turnpike, and here I am.
Oh, man, I'm a little disappointed.
Well, maybe you're disappointed, but I am fulfilled.
All right,
and
well,
I'm not talking about, the spiritual food that I've been blessed with. And just the mere presence here and all the ambiance, all the inner feel, that it just radiates.
Wow.
This town just radiates.
Wow. You're in another space today. That's pretty amazing. Now tell me about what's so special about Toledo, Ohio, since you're going to contend there.
I am going to just give you a little bit. The thing is that I have one favorite announcer, baseball announcer. He's sort of the Vin Scully of minor league announcers. Jim Weber, who's been broadcasting for over 40 years, has never missed a broadcast of the Mud Hens, so I listen to their games all the time. I know their team very well. They're doing exceptionally well this year. So that kind of is one of the reasons I came. They got a beautiful ballpark.
Wow.
I'll post a pic. I'll give you some pics, but hotel is just, you can see it in the background of the ballpark. I can fall into this ballpark from my hotel. And so that's it, the Mud Hens. And I mean, they're storied. And I'll tell you, it's amazing the things that happen. Because what happened is, at the last minute, I did not put my Mud Hen t-shirt in my bag and instead put a St. Louis Browns t-shirt.
Wait a minute. What's up with that?
Well, it all came together. It's like I had that moment, that epiphany that took place at the ballpark yesterday when I realized what happened.
A moment of spiritual clarity? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, it was. I mean, the church, everything. What I realized is that they have a little museum there in the ballpark with the history of the Mud Hens, and they used to be the minor league club for the St. Louis Browns.
Wow.
Then I look on the field and realize that the Toledo Mud Hens are playing the Norfolk Tides, which happens to be the main club, the affiliate for the Baltimore Orioles.
Which are
the former St. Louis Browns.
Yeah, I told Claudia that the other day because her brother Steve, or my brother-in-law Steve, loves to listen to the Orioles. He's listening to the Browns, really, isn't he?
He is. So when I put those two pieces of information together, it's like I said, this is it. This seals the deal. I've gone the complete circle. I'm where I need to be. I realize why I'm here, and everything is good in Toledo.
It's all fallen into place.
It's amazing. It's truly amazing.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I could be with you, at least virtually, while this is occurring.
Yes.
It's a momentous thing. It's an historic moment in the Bro Show. My brother finds peace. My brother John finds peace. He didn't even get upset when I tried to tell him he was in Spain. So,
yeah, that's maybe I'll do that one of these days. I don't know. Mallorca kind of excites me a little bit.
I spent 3 months in Mallorca.
Yeah. So that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, it's yeah. Not, what islands. You call it? Those are islands. And yes. I was on Calamior.
So, but yeah. I'm here. I'm enjoying baseball. I'm enjoying everything the Mud Hens has to give me, including a couple of just wonderful mascots.
Really? You're gonna have, there are two mascots?
Yeah, there's Muddy. The that's the male. And then there's Madonna.
Madonna. M-U-D-O-N-N-A.
I was lucky enough yesterday to, because when you, a lot of times these mascots are kind of standoffish. They hang in the suites, talking to the high rollers. They get on the field, and they don't really make, they don't, you know, kind of connect with the common fan. But Madonna happened to be strolling the concourse.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I have to be really careful. I've run into a problem.
What is it? Oh.
I'm being profiled.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is that
I remember this.
When I get, here's the problem. The problem is when I get in line to get my picture with Madonna,
mm-hmm.
I'm the only adult. I stand out.
Yeah, I think you would. Can I?
So as a result, I go ahead.
John,
it's a problem,
John. You know, I didn't want to say anything about this, but you know, there is. I've seen lots of pictures of you with mascots, and see, I know why you look the way you do when you get these pictures taken, because it irritates the shit out of our friend Walter, and so you have a gleam in your eye, and you have a certain kind of smile, John, that could easily be misinterpreted.
Crazed mascot stalker.
I'm afraid
Okay.
I'm afraid so.
I'm going to have to bring. I'm going to have to reel it in a little bit. I'm afraid.
And I think you are. You're going to end up on a list.
Yeah.
Don't ever get on.
It could
a list.
Get serious.
Yeah. Don't get on a list. That's important. Kids at home should remember that too.
So I do have a picture with Madonna, and you know the thing is that it rained a little bit before the game, so she's got her rain
gear on.
Yeah.
You sent me the picture. Still, it was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good mascot.
She's a looker.
So that was, yeah.
What about Muddy? What about Muddy?
Muddy is the traditional, the older of the two, and Muddy kind of, like I said before, is more of a celebrity. So as a result,
he's in the suites hanging out with the high rollers.
Yeah, he's hanging in the suites with the high rollers. And he might get onto the field. I didn't even see Muddy yesterday. He must have. He's just hooting and tooting with the best of them. So I just kind of I felt fortunate enough because I went to customer service to find out, you know, that's another thing I think that's a real problem. When I go to customer service, I'm almost giving them a stalker alert. When I ask, I say, "Where are the mascots?"
Well, again, I think you should practice saying that in the mirror, okay, every day this week. Now, this is not, you know, this is not part of your absolution, but this is a recommendation. And just practice saying the words you have to say in order to find out where they are, and see if you can do it without that gleam in your eye and that fiendish smile.
Yeah.
You think?
Well, I want to. Well, I'll give it a try. I think you're absolutely right. This is the first time I felt sensitive that people are staring at me. The woman who took a picture of me with the mascot, who happened to be a wonderful customer service representative of the ball team, kind of had a questionable, skeptical, discerning eye upon me. So I thought, yeah. Better be careful.
Yeah, I think you'd better. Where were your hands when you were posing with her, with Madonna?
I'd have to go take a look, but I usually kind of place them on my hips. Not the mascot's hips. Fortunately,
yours. Okay.
Yeah, mine.
Okay.
So I'm careful.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do kind of nuzzle. I kind of like to get a good picture, close up. So I get relatively close to the mascot. I have to be truthful.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, we may have to talk offline about this. This is starting to sound a little serious.
Well, I'll tell you right now. The thing is that.
In your defense,
let's cut to the chase.
You're having a religious experience. You're having a religious experience.
In addition to the fact that I've realized how important I had a friend of ours, Walter Tim, who opened my eyes.
Wait a minute. These people. You weren't supposed to say his last name.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Walter. Walter, last name to remain.
Yeah, well, right.
Nameless. I guess that doesn't come out right.
I have to edit. Edit.
Tim, just Walter.
I have to edit now. Jesus.
So, Walter, when the Cubs got their mascot, and they're one of the last remaining clubs to get one, Clark, he brought it to my attention and had some things to say about it. I'm not going to comment whether they were negative or positive. But I then said, you know what? Start taking a look around the ball, the fans, and I looked and said, the demographics of this sport are not going the right direction.
How so?
Well, it's like it's the demographics are shaky, like in Parkinson's. it's like,
yeah, big shout out to all the people with Parkinson's.
Jesus. It's like I see these people trying to get up in the stands. My seats are in the third row, and some people are going up to the 20th, and they're huffing and puffing, and they're just holding on to the aisle, the rail. Seats to the side, the rail, the seats, whatever they can grab.
Wow.
And I mean, sometimes if I sit on the end seat, I end up my shoulder, and I'm glad to offer it, ends up being a part of the rail that they need to hold on to.
Well, you do need some human contact every once in a while, by the way. So yeah, that's not all bad.
Other than mascots, you're right.
Yeah, so we got to change that.
So the thing is that I said, you know what? This is the avenue to reach the youths.
Well, it's odd you should say that. A ute and a mud hen, they're related, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God.
I know. We're getting really, really. Woo.
The deal is that I've done a lot of work looking at mascots, and I do need to at this point, and I told somebody, Kate Cummings, one of our avid listeners, she says, what are you going to be talking about this week? And I said, well, mascots, you know, might get into the conversation. And she says, I want you to comment about some of these clubs who continue to have mascots that are somewhat politically incorrect. And I said, which one are you talking about? She says, Atlanta. She said, Sokka Homer. And I said, oh, no. They've righted their ways. They now have Homer, Home of the Brave. No more Sokka Homer. So in other words, there's a couple of clubs, the Indians and the Braves, that have in a traditionally abused the image of the Native American, and I'm glad to say that most of that's gone by the wayside. The Indians this year, this will be their last year of selling Indian paraphernalia, merchandise, etc.
Wow.
So
that's a big change, Kate, actually.
Yes, it is. So the good news is that, Kate, that I don't think this is as big a problem, but let's see how the year plays out.
Yeah, let's keep our eye on it. Let's keep our eye on it because these guys are tricky.
So you know. That leads to our. Can I make the first ad? Sure.
Hey, come on, let's have it. Sponsor read, John Daniels. Take it, John.
Okay. The thing is, what we have in the making, and quite often you read about the museums, and you go on the internet, and you realize that's where the museum stops. It's an internet museum, no bricks and mortar. I am pleased to report that the city of Whiting, Indiana, has decided to embrace the thought of having mascots as a part of their industry. Ooh. So what they've done is they've provided a large grant to a group that's headed by the Philly Fanatic, the former Philly Fanatic. And they right now have a museum which will open in 2018. You're saying, yeah, sure, it'll open. Well, bricks and mortar in place. All they're doing is the build-out. The building is completed. And I'll tell you right now, this museum is not going to be one where you're going to just go and see stuffed mascots or pictures of them. This is going to be an interactive museum.
Wait a minute.
Many ways.
Define interactive in this case, please.
Well, what I mean by interactive is that children will have an opportunity to interact with mascots. And mascots will get the opportunity to learn how to interact with kids. I think it's a win-win.
Well, I think it needs to go that way because, let's face it, mascots are just a breath away from being clowns.
Clowns, and we know how scary clowns can be to children. So what this museum provides the opportunity for parents to take their children and have them get over that traumatic shock of seeing a large human with a head bigger than a gigantic. And I'll tell you, this can scare the hell out of kids.
Yeah.
So get that shock behind them. Maybe they'll forget it. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll scar, you know. But if it does scar, that scar will heal. Hopefully it won't.
Oh, God. Are you speaking from experience? Have you been scarred by a mascot?
Clowns, a little
clowns,
bit.
Clowns, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Clowns, yeah. The mascots, okay. By the time the mascots became popular, I was a little bit older.
Yeah, you were inured.
And I was. Yeah. And so the fact is that the other side of the equation is, think about this. Poor mascots are just thrown to the wolves. Somebody is hired. Maybe they have a little experience in college as a mascot or
a cheerleader.
Yeah. And what they do is that they throw them a doggone suit, which they got to put on in weather like today and, you know, sweat their asses off.
Yeah, they got to lose some weight.
And what do they do? They can't say anything.
Nope.
They're out there and they really don't know what to do and they don't interact well quite often. This museum in Whiting, Indiana is going to allow these mascots to develop, learn. There will be studies of mascots done. So, and they will be allowed to develop. So you can
Wait
go
a minute.
There.
For real?
Yes.
Oh my God. This has turned into a thing.
This is going to be a finishing school for mascots, in addition to being a museum.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's all good.
Is it?
I mean, yeah, having a
it's a little scary, let's face it.
You know, hey, look, can you imagine getting an internship to the mascot museum? Order to learn and to hone your skills to, you know, learn from the beginning on how to be a mascot. This is going to be very, and then these mascots will do a much better job. And I just think it's a win-win. It's incredibly good.
Wow. So wait a minute. One thing that might be interesting to try is if you could get the curriculum, since it is a finishing school, you might send an application to Walter Timm. He might enjoy attending, maybe auditing a class.
Possibly. I think what at this point, hey, look at this.
What?
They're actually, I couldn't believe it because I printed out from their website and I didn't realize it, but they're actually having a partnership with a college.
Which
to
one?
To work on the curriculum. Calumet College, which is
that's near Chicago.
Yeah right. First thing is this Whiting is located about 45 minutes on the expressway, and so this is a very, very close. So if you're in Chicago for some baseball, this will become a destination without a doubt.
Wow.
And they've already, you know, they've done the typical shtick that happens with the interactive, you know, with the internet museums. They've already celebrated they're going to have a mascot hall of fame.
Jeez.
With ceremonies, and they've elected their first class, which includes the oh my God.
What?
I just took a look, a picture.
What?
Clark is in during their groundbreaking ceremonies a little over a year and a half ago. They got a picture with a bunch of mascots with shovels.
And Clark's
and
one of them?
I can't believe it. Clark is one of them.
Clark, for the kids at home, is the Cubby mascot, right?
I see, yes. And we got Philly the Fanatic and Mr. Met in his pick.
Really? Hey, Mr. Met, good. Too?
Yeah, Mr. Met.
Wow.
So I, you know, so the fact
Walter is Walter needs to see that. He needs that picture because he hates Clark.
He needs to know. First thing is, Walter is way overreacting.
What's that? Is it ignorance, do you think?
It is, because he's interacting. He doesn't realize that the Cubs are a highbrow, snobbish club that believes they steep in tradition. So as a result, that they want to make sure that their mascot is in its place and it isn't too close to the action. If you go to Wrigley, you're not going to see Clark.
What?
Clark is not in the stands. Clark is not in the suites. Clark is not on the field.
Where the hell is he?
He might be outside the ballpark because they got a play area outside the park. In addition to the fact, Clark is going to be located in his playhouse, which is right now under construction. And if they had to move it, they did something very smart. What they did is they realized that they had the clubhouse too far away from the merchandise, from the gift shop. So they said, what we got to do is put them adjacent. So we get the kids up in the playhouse with Clark so that the kids will then go right to the gift shop and talk the parents into buying crap. I mean, Cub stuff.
I have mixed feelings about the Cubs myself. We got to see Green Day there, so I like Wrigley Field, except for the fact that when you're watching a baseball game there in where we were sitting, you're constantly getting up to let people buy you because they don't have enough aisles.
Yeah, they have very, very long rows. And what they did is they actually had shorter rows down in the section below mine. I'm in the 200 section. In the 100 in the section, they actually had longer. They had shorter rows, but in order to increase the capacity, they put more seats in some of those rows. So now it's even worse.
Wow.
It wouldn't be that bad if the fans would be interested in the ball game. But if you go to Wrigley Field, most of them are interested in feeding their face and going to the bathroom in that order.
Well, I guess they're drinking beer out there in the stands.
So yeah.
They go to the bathroom.
They're drinking it and they're renting it. That's all they're doing. I mean, it's out of their system before they know it.
Wow. They don't have bacon at Wrigley Field, so
they
have that at Sox Park. Sox Park has it.
Yeah, they lack in terms of their food selections, but that's a whole nother story. But right now, Clark is a good mascot. I've had my picture with him. I've seen him at work. The other thing is that what the Cubs like to do is they like to use their mascot outside the park. They have the Children's Advocate Hospital, Clark. That's a sponsor of the Cubs. So what they did is it's a revenue stream. Clark is a revenue stream, by the way.
Wow.
People don't realize that. What they've done is they said, well, look, Advocate Hospital, would you like to be a sponsor? They said, oh, yes, we'd like to be a sponsor. Well, the sponsorship will cost you this much. And of course, if we add in Clark, it's going to cost you even more. But we will make Clark available so that he can parade through the hospital and scare the living shit out of some of those kids who are sick already.
Oh, man.
And now, so
Clark
that's
should hand out Clark bars.
That's a great idea. I mean,
yeah.
I would say it would be great.
Yeah.
I'm all, you know, the fact is the audience. You know, after he scares the kid, he says, here, have a candy bar.
Then
I think it's
take
a good idea.
He'll take the edge off
and get him a sugar high, and the kid will be back going nuts.
He'll be
again.
A diabetic before he knows it.
Yep.
Yeah, we got that. And that supports the economy.
It's the medical industrial complex. Just another ailment. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, it's a maintenance one, too, you know.
So as a result,
ongoing revenue.
Clark, it's a revenue stream.
Wow.
So Clark adds to the bottom line of the Chicago Cubs. And I'm as an accountant, that's the kind of mascot I like to see, a moneymaker.
Wow.
Not one that just schmoozes and is an indirect benefit, but one that hits the bottom line in a positive way.
Cha-ching.
You're absolutely right.
Wow, that was a long sponsor read.
Yeah, it was.
You got a little carried away, didn't you?
For those people who, the listeners who, it's the Mascot Hall of Fame. Let's put the link to it in the.
Okay, got it. It'll be in the show notes.
But now it's the Mascot Museum, I guess is what it's called, the Mascot Museum.
Let's make
sure. And what we'll do is it's scheduled to open, and a lot of times you see, well, they broke ground, they did this and did that, but I've seen pictures. This one's ready to rock. It'll over the summer, towards the end of the summer, it'll be open.
And now this is all sports. It's not just baseball.
That's right. It's going to cover all the sports. And so it's located. Actually, the idea, if somebody just can't wait and wants to see the construction, it's in Whiting, Illinois, at Front and 119th Street in Whiting. Whiting's a nice little community, 4,000, who felt a need to to make their city, put it on the map. And this is the way they're doing it, because actually it was on the map before this. It was Standard Oil's largest refinery, and that's since closed. But hey, let's close the refinery. It's moved on further, you know, to give that smell and pollution to Gary, Indiana.
nice.
And so
nice.
It's just a nice little kind of a town which has got a little arts and crafts with some age and some nice looking buildings. And I figured, hey, we need a new industry. So we're going to do the mascot industry.
Now, does it have a lot of now I know that we're both fond of abandoned buildings, and you've got a good one there in Toledo, as I recall.
Yeah, you know what? That building, I've been doing some research on. Let's move on and talk a little bit about Toledo. Fact is that I am interested in buildings, abandoned buildings.
This one's not going to be abandoned for long. We're building out the top 10.
You know, a lot of people feel that all we do, the bro show, what they do is, those just two brothers that sit on their asses and do a podcast. I like to have people know that we're investigative reporters. We beat the bushes. We pound the pavement. And when a story needs to be investigated further, we're out on the road looking. So last night after the ball game, it's about 11 o'clock, I decided to go over there and try to break into that building.
John, you're not supposed to break into buildings. Now, you're on the stalker list for the mascots already. Now you're going to get B&E on your rap sheet. No.
Yeah.
A little caution, bro.
Yeah, you can speak from experience.
Well, yeah, I can, unfortunately. But I don't want you to go down the road that I went down.
Here's the problem.
You don't want to end up in jail.
Okay, we've got this building. Maybe you do. Fiber. Yeah, we got this. No, I'm keeping that. I'm doing it in the name of the show. I figured the bro show. I say bro show is going to carry a lot of weight, and it'll keep me from ending up in the clink. I'm sure it'll happen. You know, it'll be okay.
Oh my god! Oh my god! So, you are so naive.
I'm walking. I get close to the building. It's a fiberglass tower. To give you a little history, it was constructed in 1969. It had one tenant, Corning Glassware, which was a big, big industry in Toledo. Corning decided to move their headquarters out in the Toledo suburbs. So they basically pulled up their stakes and left. So there was nobody in the building. Now, if you have 20 tenants and you lose one, not a big deal. But if you got one tenant and lose them, you got a big problem.
Yeah.
So that building has not had an occupant since 1996. So they've tried to use it as an office building and to put office tenants in. So within recent years, we've got the Maumee River right out here. And it's close to the Maumee River. So they call it Tower on the River.
And they do.
I thought, so what I did is I took a look and realized that there were two lights on. There was a light on in the front and the bottom, the first floor, where the lobby of the building is. And then I saw one other light, maybe. This is a 30-story building. So this is not what you call a mid-rise. This is a high-rise. It's a beautiful building. I would call it international, kind of Art Deco. Not Art Deco, a little more museum. It's got the black finish to it, but it's got some curves to it, so it isn't the black box.
Okay.
But it's nice. It's a nice building. So
yeah, I saw pictures. It looked nice. So you actually went there. Now, you didn't have like your cat burglar stuff on, did you?
No. I still had my baseball stuff on from the ball game.
Okay, that'll work.
And I went up to it and I thought, well, you know, it should have a guard.
Yeah.
For the building. No guard. Mm. I mean, I rattled that damn door trying to pry it open.
Ooh.
It wouldn't open, and I thought, well, I'll shake, stir up somebody in the building. So you know what? I think this building is still abandoned.
Really?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have. I guess it's kind of gray. I mean, if it has a person that's in there during the day trying to pitch, but I got a feeling that what I see at the top, and I know this is just I'm kind of connecting the dots, is just a model apartment.
Really?
To try to pitch. The condominiums are the apartments that they're trying to sell.
Yeah, now the top 10 floors are going to be condos, right?
Right, and they're going to try to do a little office shtick on the bottom portion of it, probably the first 5 to 10 floors, and then the rest of it, to be residential.
Yeah.
And,
but
and, yeah.
Now, I don't expect a doorman, though, these days. You know, it's all automated with little, you have a little fob on your keys like you do to your building. You don't have a doorman.
But I was expecting a doorman if it's occupied. Then once I saw...
Not at night.
Not at night, I thought they'd have a guard. I'm looking for somebody that's going to, you know, that I'm going to give somebody a little work.
Yeah, you want someone to arrest you.
I want somebody to say, look, get your butt away from that door. This is not to be occupied. This, you're not supposed to come in. Come in later when they're selling. And I can't find much about that.
Huh.
In terms, I think it's something they've been trying to do for 4 or 5 years. And let's just say it hasn't gotten a lot of traction yet.
No legs. It's right on the river.
Well, you know what the problem, I think, is that when they say tower on the river, it's 2 blocks away from the river.
Well, that's not on the river.
No, it isn't. I think what they're doing is, I think people come with the idea that they're going to be able to step out and be a nice little river walk, that they could go up and down the river, and they don't realize they got to go over 2 main streets of Toledo and a lot of other, let's just say, unoccupied buildings, although they're very nice looking. So it's a little desolate down here, and they're a victim of the rust. This is a rust belt town all the way.
Oh my gosh.
But it's making a comeback.
A comeback. Okay. Well, you know, speaking of Corning, you know, Corning got a complete rebirth with the iPhone. Corning makes all these screens now for not just the iPhone, but the Android phones and everything. So, you know, they really could, you know, come back. I don't see why they couldn't. That's a big deal for them. These screens have turned out to be their savior.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's important that they are able to, you know, as technology, you know, allows them to jump in and offer, you know, parts and product, it's important.
Well, it was an accident that they just had a guy they couldn't control in R&D, and he made all this crazy glass for nothing. And they had it locked away in their R&D vault. And it was Steve Jobs who heard about it and who made them trot it out and offered them a deal. And this has been a big income stream for them. So, yeah. And for those who don't know about Corning, they made the glassware back in the day when we were kids and what have you.
Yeah, that's where you'd go if you were going to get dishes or glass, containers.
Glass pots.
It was the most big deal.
Yeah, they're great. You put them in the oven, et cetera.
Well, I just wanted to so I'll keep my eye on this building.
Okay,
It's amazing. I asked at the hotel. I said, "Well, how's it going with the mommy? You know, the tower in the river, fiberglass." Mm-hmm. Nobody even knew about it, and I can walk out the damn hotel and look and see it.
So that's like kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's just what you run into a lot of ignorant people. Mm.
Well, maybe, but maybe there's is it a nothing burger possibly?
Oh, I don't think it's a nothing burger. I think I was just trying to be pedantic.
You got that one got loose on you a little bit there, didn't it?
But I'm just going to be a little bit more pedantic about this topic. And my interest in these buildings, these abandoned buildings, started with a beautiful Art Deco building located beyond the left field in Memphis Auto Zone Park called the Sterick Building, Sterick. Beautiful. That's probably the most famous of the U.S. abandoned buildings. Of course, we've on a previous show talked about one.
North Korea. Pyongyang has one. Yeah, yes. A nice one. Crazy-looking, insane building.
Yes.
I've changed my opinion about their leader. He's pretty smart. But that's only since we've had this president.
He's a little cagey. Mm-hmm. I think Trump has met his match.
Well, if he met us, he didn't need his match. That's not saying much.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, I just sense that, you know, this, you know, how Trump likes to kind of be do things that are unexpected and put monkey wrenches into stuff. And I just think that this is the kind of guy that Trump can hang with. It's going to be a good wrestling match. It's a professional wrestling. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, his MO is reality TV / wrestling. And he was a big wrestling fan, and he's actually been involved.
He's not only been involved, speaking of museums, there's a variety of wrestling museums out there. And he is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame in one of them. Donald Trump is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there are I mean, when they start working on his presidential library, there ought to be a wrestling wing in it. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it sounds like there should be. Now, another quick question. Detroit. Now, does Detroit have a lot of famous band of
buildings?
Yeah,
Cadillac. You know, there's their downtown is it's like all of them is that they're in a revival gentrification mode, but there's still a lot of large. There's one you're going to find at least four or five really beautiful old office buildings, hotels down there that are unoccupied. So that would be a destination if you're interested in kind of seeing four or five of them at one crack. I would recommend Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
It's only 60 miles from Toledo, too.
Oh, wow. So this is, there's a circuit we could take here that would be pretty rewarding. I wouldn't mind doing that. That'd be fun. Detroit, I've only been to Detroit once, but I liked it. You know, it's right on the lake, really, right across from Windsor, Ontario. And the downtown actually looked quite nice, but I will say that, you know, just from a tech point of view, Detroit, the city, is really pitching tech companies because they have a great package out there. You know, they built out a lot of internet they're not using, and so there's that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, too, is there's just great tax offers, great lease and rental deals at these so-called abandoned buildings. And so they're making a lot. They're actually making some headway. I've heard a lot of interviews with people who have made the leap. And of course, the first company out there that made the leap, I think, was Shinola, which is a cool place. They make watches.
Tell you another industry in Detroit that people don't realize is up and coming, and that's urban farming.
That's right.
There is so much vacant property. Brownfields are turning into greenfields.
That's cool. That's
and
so cool.
If you take a look at the major, if you look at the top 20 metropolitan areas in the U.S., Detroit by far has the most acreage.
Wow.
In terms of farming within the city.
Is it really being used for farming?
Oh, yes. I mean, I only know this from my work at Open Lands.
That's right.
And the fact that they're doing that, you know, they're doing the same thing in Chicago to a much lesser extent on the south side, west side.
Right.
And that's another interesting.
Okay, well, I'll do the second sponsor read if you want, and then we'll start on our on our stuff. Yeah, just a little tease. John had a meltdown regarding mayonnaise, and I think you'll find it interesting. We'll talk about that after the sponsor read. Mm. And we're talking about Harry's.com. Harry's makes the most incredible. I've been a user of Harry's products for years. I got them when they first started in business. And they make the greatest shaving and men's, just basically anything to do with shaving, before, during, or after. They've got stuff. Their main stock and trade is making this incredible blade. And their come on is their blades are cheap, and it's all internet. There's no brick and mortar. Their blades are so much better than anybody else's blades, and they're cheaper. They are cheaper. And boy, it's very impressive. Now, when you hold one of these things in your hand and shave, you feel the difference. They're ergonomically made for men shaving. That said, very quickly, my Harry's razor got taken over by my wife. Yeah, you heard me right. She uses it on her very darling legs. And they do the job. That's the best razor she's ever owned, both in terms of grip and the actual blades themselves. It's crazy cool. And they were, when they started business, they were in partnership with a German company that had been making blades, razor blades, for 100 years, family owned, etc. Now they have bought that company and made those nice Germans who did not participate really seriously in the Holocaust. They made those nice Germans partners. And so one big happy family, lots of bratwurst and sauerkraut, and great razor blades. Can't overemphasize that. Harry's.com, go there. You can sign up. They have a deal on getting yourself a razor and a starter set of blades. They even give you a little aftershave and some cream to get yourself all lathered up. And it's all good, all great. I'm just a razor and blade guy myself. But then once you get it, you can say, I want a package of blades every 3 months, and these things last a long time, particularly if you're old and your whiskers have kind of lost their vim and vigor. You can get by once a month blade easy.
All I can say is that your ad here has not only pitched the blades, but it's heightened my appetite based upon talking about food. And I think I'm going to have a bratwurst at the ballpark with some sauerkraut when
I would get to have one for me too. Boy, so, I love that stuff. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
So and we got Germans visiting, and I'm going to guide them to Fredericksburg, where they have really good bratwurst.
Hey, what's the deal with it? You don't have the razor right now, then, huh? When are you going to get it back?
I just go into the shower and grab it, and then change the blade. Men, if your woman uses your razor, change the blade before you use it, because that hair on their legs is made of steel wool, and there's little bitty micro dents all over your razor blade once they get it on their legs. So change that blade, use it, hide the blade, by the way, and then put her blade back on, put it back in the shower. She'll never know. She'll feel like she's taken over, one of the few areas of masculinity left to you. Oh, that's a little autobiographical.
Sorry
about that.
This is an awful lot of changing blades. I just hope you don't forget to change it. That's all I got to say.
It could be bloody. I've done it once.
Don't talk about that. I'm on thinners, please.
They've
already talked to me about the fact I got to be careful shaving, but maybe with this blade, I'd have to be.
They're really smooth. Probably they're really good blades. If you had to, you'd shave your legs.
Yeah, not something I'm thinking about doing, but I'm sure the thought has crossed your mind.
I don't have to think about that. I don't have any hair on my legs. So.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's all gone. My stomach, too. I used to have a lot of hair on my stomach. It's gone. Anyways, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? No, that's a little joke.
Oh, please.
Yeah, sorry about that. All right.
I'm getting depressed enough about mayonnaise, let alone talking about...
Can we talk about that? Set it up.
I don't know.
What happened?
Here's a problem. The problem is that I'm out there looking for items which I feel would be healthy. And healthy is kind of a strange word when it comes to food, because
relative.
It depends upon the criteria.
Yeah.
And there's various criteria, and it's, like you said, all relative. And unfortunately for us, for me, it's too relative. Because you're the one who is like the food expert, and I do value your opinion. So what I did is I bought some Band-Aids that I thought, just based upon the container, it was Kraft, which should have been a sign that I made a big mistake.
Now, wait a minute. Just set up here. You felt pretty good about this because you thought you had a winner.
Yeah.
You felt real good. And I just destroyed you, unfortunately.
You did, because it said that it had avocado oil in it. It had omega something listed on it. And I thought, I've heard that word before, and I've heard my brother use it, so it's got to be good. And so,
oh, God.
I saw on the front of it, I saw all this wonderful stuff, and then you busted my bubble by saying, turn the bottle around, take a look at the ingredients.
Wow. How did that go?
Unfortunately, it grouped the avocado oil with a bunch of other oils, which are not so good.
Yeah.
It never gave a percentage of avocado oil separately.
Yeah.
So canola, soy.
Those two, I think. Yeah, right.
And plus maybe a couple others that are, well, I can't remember.
Who knows? There might be peanut oil in there.
I didn't bring the bottle with me.
That's okay.
So as a result, by the time you got done, I was thinking, where is my receipt for this so I can take it back and get my money? Because it sounded,
you got gypped. Yeah, and plus they've got what? Sugar in there or corn syrup or both?
Sugar.
Yeah, well, it's better than corn syrup, but not much. And why you need sugar in mayonnaise is beyond me. Why does anyone
they
need
also,
sugar
They also
in
made
there?
A big point about the eggs in it.
Yeah.
They were
cage-free.
Cage-free eggs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What does cage-free mean, you might ask?
Well,
it means the chickens have legs, as opposed to the ones that have spent generations in cages that really don't have what we would recognize as legs, I'm afraid. Yeah.
So I don't know how that is going to enhance the health aspects of this food.
It doesn't really. The only thing that makes a difference is if the a couple things make a difference. No, antibiotics are a big deal, right? Everyone knows about that. So it has that. Those eggs are non-antibiotic. And the other thing is what the chickens actually eat. Now, it's become popular to take animals and feed them back to the animal, which I think everybody knows this is wrong.
Cannibalistic animals?
Yeah. Everybody knows this is wrong. It's like the way mad cow disease got started. And it's bad. It's bad.
It's not really bad. I didn't know about it. So I was ignorant. I was blissfully ignorant of this whole topic. And what you've done is you've just made...
opened the wound, haven't I?
Yeah. Now all of a sudden...
You were so blissful before.
Yeah.
And I ruined it, didn't I? You wanted me to, though, right? You did. You like this. You do like it a little bit. Yeah. Well, okay, just to continue with this, so it makes no difference. I mean, so they don't have a cage, but they're still eating each other, so great. But the real deal is you want what are called pastured hens or chickens, and that means they eat what they normally eat, which grubs, insects. That's the big deal for a chicken. They're eating seeds, or they're eating each other. That's not so good. Why? It's not just a moral thing. It's because of what you said, John. Omega-3. Omega-3 is only really in abundance in eggs and chickens that don't eat each other, and in fact eat what they're supposed to eat, which are bugs and grubs and worms. And when they have a diet like that, boy, oh boy, you know it when you taste the meat. And when you eat the eggs, the egg yolks will be an unbelievable color. You'll recognize it immediately. So that's the deal in the eggs. There's sugar in that mayonnaise, which is insane. I don't even know why they do it. They're probably, who knows, the mafia. I don't know what's behind it. But you tried hard, John. You did try hard.
Yeah, well, I just learned my lesson. I understand now. I got to read the back. In addition to the fact you pointed out the right stuff to get. Yeah. And also... some of the places I ought to be going to try to find this good stuff.
Yeah, Duke's Mayonnaise. They're not a sponsor yet, but we're working on it. I'll go get some,
and that way we can both, sing the praises of that product.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, hey, it looks like another long sponsor read, but not really. We're already on to the mayonnaise crisis of 2018, brought to you by the Brochure. So, we got that going on. Now, speaking about depression, I know what you do when you have to go to St. Louis and have a close encounter of a Daniel's kind. What you do is you watch at least once, maybe twice, Stuart Smalley Saves His Family, don't you?
It is. It makes me feel so good to watch that movie because Stuart Smalley is a counselor, And he gives me advice. In addition to the fact, I find a functional family that might be worse than our
terms of more dysfunctional.
More dysfunctional. Yes.
Yeah. And so they don't put the fun back into dysfunctional.
Well, it's like the way I describe my family. He says, "Well, it can't be that bad." I said, "Well, look, I actually improved my well-being by leaving St. Louis and going to Vietnam."
You did.
Yes, I did. That was to me was a step up in terms of my mindset, my family mentality, my approach,
and your overall mental health.
Yes,
set you up for your career and everything.
Yes,
and who knew that you would have a sergeant who you had to talk to every morning about shit so that he could take a shit, and now here you are calling me. Getting me to talk about shit so you can take a shit. So that full circle again, right?
It's a full circle. It's all good.
It's beautiful.
But that's another topic. We know we're putting a pin in that one.
Oh.
That was a full hour on that.
We have a shit show coming up.
On our digestive track. Yes, we do.
We have a shit show coming up. Stay tuned. Yeah. So that's exciting. But so what do I do, you might ask, if you were concerned about my well-being, one might ask, well, Jerry, what do you do when you get overwhelmed by events and start feeling down and out? And what I do is I watch a movie also, like my brother. But My movie's a little different. I watch Arrival. I've seen it maybe 7 times now. Arrival, Arrival. It's got all the things I love. I can't say much about it because I believe in this movie so much, and the plot, once you figure out what's happening, blows your mind in a good way. But it's an unlikely movie for a person like me to see because one of the plot points is about a woman that loses her only child to some crazy disease, and she has to watch the kid die. And it sounds terrible and depressing, but that's a very, very small part of the movie, although it's an important background piece. But the real show is something else that I cannot talk about. But this movie, oddly enough, and by the way, Mary Jane, my wife, cannot watch this movie. So it upsets her too much. So I can, though, and I use it. It fills me with awe, wonder, and hope for some reason, you know? Now I know Stuart Smalley makes you feel good, John. What are your feelings, if you can talk about them,
First thing I'd like to point out that we do have, I can't think of two, I've seen both these movies, and I can't think of two direct opposite movies.
Polar opposites.
But the fact is that they both work to make us feel better about our situation, whether it be death or family, whatever. And that's all good.
It is.
Yeah. So I think that's the common thread. It's a movie that you fall back on. I mean, we all have films that we like to watch more than once, and Stuart Saves His Family is one that I enjoy. So
yeah. I also like Pride and Prejudice, the BBC version, the miniseries. Wow.
You're starting to get a little too much culture from you.
Well, I don't know if it's culture or not, but Jane Austen.
Yeah, well, in addition, you're going in another direction, too. Ladies' movies.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah.
That's okay.
Can we talk about that? I'm not going to talk.
You can be the outlier. That's okay. You can be part of that reading group that sort of like I'm, you know, in the line with the mascot, with the kid.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll own it. Yeah, I love her stuff, and so that's another place I go. Okay. All right. You don't want to talk about it. I understand.
So
we've got a couple other things here. John, there's something you recommended I watch that I have to talk to you about, and that's Brockmire.
Brockmire, yeah. Brockmire is a TV series on IFC about a burned-out alcoholic baseball announcer who hits the bottom of the barrel last year in the first season when he ends up broadcasting for the team that's in the minors. And so the first season was really good. I enjoyed a lot of baseball. Amanda Peet is really good in it, too, in addition to Hank Aguirre.
So, you have a crush on her.
How do you pronounce his name? Yeah.
You have a super crush on her, yeah. I like her, too, I have to admit.
So the thing is, this year, I've happened to catch a couple of the episodes, and then you brought to my attention, you say, it's not quite where it was last year.
Scary.
And it's a difficult...
It's freaking scary.
It is. It's getting too dark.
It's like Shakes the Clown. I mean, jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of that can you watch? And now Amanda Peet came back in the last two episodes, but wow. Still, you know, it just points out how shallow and insane Hank is. And it's funny at first, but it's kind of wearing on me. But on the other hand, I'm in. I'm hooked. I don't know if I can stop watching it, but I would like to.
Well, I'm just hoping. I think the key here is we've seen this. It's like, I think, 8 episodes, maybe 10 for the whole season. Halfway through the season, we've only seen Amanda Peet in 2 episodes. I think she needs to have a presence. The other thing is, we're always, after every episode with her, we're left with the impression she's adios, amigos, goodbye, and that we're not going to see her again.
Does Mika know about this?
Oh, no.
Your other girlfriend?
So. She will now.
All right, no comment. I guess she will. We know she listens. All right, buddy, we're topping on an hour here. We'll just put a pin in the rest of what we got here and talk about it next week. Huh?
Sounds good. Hang in there and have a good day. Keep cool.
All right, and holy Toledo.